Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. When we closed our lesson on the previous program, we see that Samson's anger at the Philistines and his anger at being betrayed by his wife to reveal the meaning of his riddle to the Philistines, he finally decided that he would return back to the Philistia, the land that he had left, and he would go back and reclaim his wife. But this was not as easily done as he suspected. And this was because when he left earlier, the bride's father had given her to somebody else. And the father said, "Oh, I thought that you hated her, so I gave her to somebody else." And then he offered Samson, he said, "Take her sister." He said, "After all, her sister is even fairer than she is. She's a younger woman as well." But that did not satisfy Samson. Now, Samson was quite angry at this giving his wife to somebody else. And Samson would not have any of that sort of plan that his father-in-law calculated. So he went out, and he caught 300 foxes. He tied their tails together, putting firebrands, that straw, between them, setting the straw on fire, and then he turned the foxes loose to run through the grain fields of the Philistines. Of course, the result of all of this was that the harvest of the Philistines was destroyed. And that's what Samson, of course, intended to do. This was his way of punishing the Philistines for what he considered to be an injustice done to him. You see, Samson was a man whom reaping vengeance was the norm. How unlike the conduct expected of Christians today. But once it was known that Samson was responsible for such a deed, the Philistines took out their revenge on Samson's father-in-law and his house, and they burned them. It speaks somewhat of their fear of Samson that they did not seek out Samson to vent their wrath, but their attack was on the house of Samson's father-in-law. But that only provoked Samson all the more, and he determined to have revenge for it. We need to be impressed with the extent of anger of which Samson was capable. He was not a man who had a large degree of self-control. He went out among the Philistines, smiting them with a great slaughter. And again it appears that Samson used as a weapon not only his bare hands as he had against the lion. The text says he smote them hip and thigh. Some commentators suggested this is how Samson worked, kicking his opponents to death, using his hip and his thigh. However, not much importance can be placed on this, but only that he fought and that he killed many of the Philistines in retaliation for what they had done to his in-laws. Now, all of this commotion that Samson was stirring was creating more and more concern in Judah, lest the Philistines make things harder upon them. Keep in mind, the Israelites were still being oppressed by the Philistines, and they had not yet been released from that persecution. So the men of Judah came to Samson to bind him. And when they asked Samson for an explanation for his actions, he simply said that he had done to them what they had done to him. Well, they offended him, and he returned the favor. Oh, how different from that golden rule of which we read in the New Testament, in Matthew 7 and verse 12, to do unto others as you would have others do unto you. These were some of 3,000 men who made their presence before Samson, and they made the request of him. Possibly they thought a large host of people coming to him would impress him that he might cooperate. Do we not wonder if there was some apprehension among them, however, seeing how Samson had handled other situations that he did not like? Well, Samson seemed to have allowed the men of Judah to bind him and to turn him over to the Philistines, just so long, he said, as they, his fellow countrymen, would not fall upon him themselves. Well, they promised not to kill him. They must have really thought they could do it, and bound him with new cords. Well, the behavior of Samson during all of this is almost a mockery of the people who came, who must have thought that they would now have him overpowered. But oh, how mistaken they were. When they took him to the Philistines, his enemies shouted for joy. He had been a menacing force among them, to be sure. But their joy was soon turned to despair. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson. He broke the new cords as if they were nothing. He broke the bands from his hands. He took a jawbone of an ass, and he slew 1,000 Philistines. He was an unstoppable force. He was indeed a one-man army. As I had said before, the other judges had usually aroused a certain amount of volunteers for an army against the enemy. Samson didn't do that. He attended to things himself. Neither friend nor foe was able to bring Samson into subjection. And little wonder that all men, especially Philistines, feared him, and they desired that he be brought under control. Well, Samson boasted of what he had done to the Philistines, and later, after throwing the jawbone away, he found himself thirsty, and he found water that God provided him in the jawbone. And even though his time was not yet done, we have recorded here the number of years that he judged Israel, and that was a period of some 20 years. But the deliverance from the Philistines seems now to have been accomplished, but Samson's personal conflict with the Philistines continued because they sought revenge against him. Now, even though the deliverance of Israel from the dominion of the Philistines was now accomplished, we have an extended record of the life and the work of Samson, which included much more havoc against the Philistines, and it reveals more of the mixed character of this man that God used. In spite of his many flaws, that cannot be readily dismissed. He is mentioned as a man of great faith in Hebrews chapter 11. Samson goes down to another Philistine city. This city was named Gaza. There he saw and went in to a harlot. Now, the moral standard of Samson would certainly not be acceptable to the way of the Lord under Jesus Christ. It seems to be acceptable to so many in our own degenerate society, where immorality is paraded as something that is acceptable and is indeed advertised. But he even violated the law of Moses under which Samson lived. Well, the news spread quickly among the people that Samson was in their midst. Well, likely as this news spread, so did fear in the hearts of the people of Gaza. So they decided to ambush Samson, and lying in wait at the gates of the city all the night, waiting until morning to attack him from ambush. Well, to their surprise, Samson awoke at midnight. He went to the gates. He pulled them up, he carried them away on his shoulders to the top of a hill. Well, this, of course, left the city without their primary defense against intruders, and certainly made it known that he was not to be captured. You see, the Philistines of Gaza were up against a power far greater than they had ever encountered previously. And so Samson did this to the city of Gaza. Now, as we have taken note, one of Samson's weaknesses was his love for women. He met and loved another woman, whose name was Delilah. Samson and Delilah, They're famous among many people even yet today. Once again the enemies of Samson attempted to get him through the woman that he had chosen, somewhat as they had done in solving Samson's riddle. They sought Delilah to learn of the source of Samson's strength, that they might overpower him. So long as he remained as he was, they were vulnerable to his attacks. They offered her a handsome bribe that evidently was sufficient for her to make the attempt to learn his secret. Well, it is difficult to decide whether the bribe of 1,100 pieces of silver was the total of the bribe, or whether each one was going to give her 1,100 pieces of silver. In either case, we learn that she was bribed to find out what was the source of Samson's strength, that they might in some way deprive him of that strength. Well, Samson seemed to have sort of played along with Delilah in her attempt to learn what she wanted to know. He told her that he would be powerless if any man, if he was bound with green withes, very tough, strong wood. So the Philistines brought these withes to her, and she bound him. Why in the world Samson could not see that Delilah was unfaithful to him and was allowing himself with her enemies, we cannot know. But he possibly did not particularly care what she did, so long as she pleased him, and he knew that he could not be bound anyway. Well, now bound, when the Philistines approached him, he simply broke the withes as if they were burnt thread. Delilah knew immediately she had been mocked by Samson. He surely must have delighted in the way that he was able to handle the Philistines and Delilah, but the secret of his attempt was not yet made known. In another attempt was made, and Samson told her that if he was bound by new ropes, he would be helpless. Well, he had broken new rope before, when the men of Judah had bound him. He knew that such an effort would not do what the Philistines wanted done. But she then bound him and called for his enemies to take him. She must have really wanted that bribe money. Once again, Samson broke the new ropes with ease and could not be captured. Well, it seems almost foolish that Delilah would now complain that Samson had lied to her. What was she trying to do to Samson? Could he not see? But Samson offers another potential solution to the Philistines' problems. And this time he was getting closer and closer to his own downfall. It had to do with his hair. If she would weave his hair with a web and fasten them with a pin to the wall, he would be weakened. Well, this she did, but only to see that when the Philistines called for him, Samson would again rise up, walk away with the entire apparatus, and the Philistines were helpless to stop him. They could not capture him. He would overcome every kind of attempt that they had to make him weak. Well, Delilah continued to complain that Samson really did not love her or he would not deceive her. But did it ever occur how Samson was being deceived? Well, she continued to harass him until he finally tells her the answer. Well, we'll study about this in our next study. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.